Hey there, be sure to take a minute to check out the links that are posted in the episode notes.
What's up? You are now listening to Americanized, a storytelling podcast where you will hear from eclectic first and second generation Americans share their stories and real life experiences as children of immigrants.
Welcome to part two of Where Is Your Money Going with Wally Miller. In this episode, Wally Miller shares the ways in which she used money as a tool to lead her to a path of financial freedom. She is a financial coach who helps women on their financial wellness journeys. Wally is also a daughter of an immigrant, first-generation college graduate, and a self-made millionaire. She drops many gems in this episode that you do not want to miss. Also, be sure to visit her website at financiallythriving.com. I just really want to know. So
yeah,
you are a millionaire, and I just want to know, how did you get there and how did that happen?
Yeah, you know, I was really inspired by the story of this couple. And as I mentioned, I really dug in to figure out what they were doing. And I really began to ask myself and the internet, right? Going to Google, like, how do you build wealth? How are people doing this? Like, what are people doing? And I realized that it really was simple, right? It was really about spending less money than you earned. And then the gap between what you needed and the income that you brought in, you use that to build wealth. Now, there are quite a few different ways of doing this. You can invest in real estate, for example, which I'm a real estate investor, right? I didn't do that until much later, but real estate is a great way to build wealth. One of the barriers to entry, though, is that you tend to need some good funds, right? A hefty fund mm-hmm. in order to start in real estate. But the other way was investing in the stock market. And now this seemed very complicated and overwhelming. And I couldn't differentiate between investing in the stock market and gambling, right? I equated the two. Right. And what I realized that a way to invest in the stock market was simply by putting money inside of your 401k. Right. So mm-hmm. many of us have access to workplace retirement accounts. Some of us have something called a TSP or thrift savings plan. If you're in the military or if you work for a government or a nonprofit organization, you might have access to a 403B. Right. But a 401k, these workplace retirement accounts are there so that you could contribute to them and that money can be invested. You know, a lot of people, when they ask me, they'll come to me and they said, oh, I want to start investing in the stock market. How should I begin? Really, the question that they're asking is, how should I invest into individual companies or into stocks, right? But really, I always have them focus their attention to using something called a tax-advantaged account, especially if you live in a city or state that is highly taxed. So when you think about places like California, New York, New York City, right? We really want to begin using tax advantage investment vehicles like an IRA or a 401k or a 457 plan, right? We really want to be using these type of investment vehicles. When you are putting money inside of these accounts, the government incentivizes you to save for your retirement, to plan for your retirement by giving you some tax advantages, right? You either reduce your taxes today or you could take the benefit later and reduce your taxes later on when you go to withdraw the money. So there's different type of accounts that you can use. But I always have people start there because what they want to begin doing when they think about investing is they want to be thinking about stock picking, having three different screens, you know, in front of them, three different monitors with red and green charts. And that is not the way that I want to spend my life. That is not the way I want to spend my time. I like the passive approach of investing and putting money aside into something like your workplace retirement account or an IRA if you don't have access to a 401k. It's really, really a great way to get started. Now, here's where I want to give a caveat. Workplace retirement accounts, they don't allow you to pick individual companies. The way they have you invest is in something called a mutual fund. And a mutual fund is just a collection of equities or a collection of companies, right? So you don't have to worry about which company is going to do good or which one is going to do bad. You don't have to worry about that. You can invest in something called a mutual fund. But really, you want to be careful because not all mutual funds inside of a 401k or part of your 401k options is going to be a good investment. You really want to educate yourself about how to evaluate those type of funds because sometimes they could be really expensive, right? So it's the difference between buying a dozen eggs at Whole Foods and a dozen eggs at Trader Joe's, right? They're eggs, they're going to do the same thing, but one of them is going to cost way more. So we really want to be begin to educate ourselves about what are some of the passive ways of investing, right? And I have already mentioned getting started is using a 401k plan, but I will recommend a book that really sort of helped me shape the way I thought about money and the way that I thought about investing. And it's called The Simple Path to Wealth. And it was written by a man by the name of J.L. Collins. And you don't even have to buy his book. He has a blog and everything that's in the book is on the blog, but the book is more organized. It's a really great way to have a step-by-step approach of when you're thinking about building wealth through your workplace retirement plans. And that was what my husband and I did. We began by increasing the amount of money that we contributed to our workplace retirement account. What that did was increase our savings on one end and also started decreasing our taxes on another end. And we continuously increased the amount of money that we were putting into our workplace retirement accounts. First, we increased it by 1% and sort of felt the difference. And we realized, oh, that didn't really, wasn't painful at all. And then we tried to do 2%, and then we did 3%, and then we kept increasing it periodically. So that was the way. And I know that sounds very boring and that sounds very simple and it sounds too good to be true, but we did that over time. We began to consistently begin investing around 2015, 2016, and it took less than about 8 years for us to build a portfolio that was worth $1 million. And this was not sitting and listening to reading, you know, like investor reports and trying to understand stock charts. It was really by consistently making decisions to begin investing in our workplace retirement accounts. Once we did that, then we were able to start using other avenues once we could contribute the maximum, but really start there. It is a simple, simple way to begin building wealth.
Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing that resource of the book that helped you out too. And you say it's simple and boring, but I think we need it to be simple so that we know it's achievable. I have a weird question that might not even apply to you, but do you ever feel a sense of guilt for your achievements and being able to call yourself a millionaire? Is there ever like a sense of guilt, or I'll just leave it at that, guilt that you feel?
I, not necessarily of being a millionaire. I think sometimes it's a little bit easier to say that behind a screen and to, and the reason why I say it at all is really to inspire people that normal folks can become millionaires too, right? But I know that there was a time, or there have been times, many, many times. I wish that this wasn't a thing anymore. But there have been times throughout the journey where I do have a sense, what I've called wealth guilt. And this started off with just me getting to the point where I was making more money than my parents, right? And feeling the heaviness that came, the responsibility that came with that. Rather than being excited about making more and more money, I was like, oh my goodness, like, what am I supposed to do here, right? And the sense of responsibility, the sense of like, wow, my best friend is struggling and here I am making decent money, or my parents work really, really, really hard. So the amount of money you make has nothing to do with the amount of effort you're willing to put in, right? So I think that there were times in my life where I felt a sense of guilt for sort of making it. And when I say making good money, I live in New York City. It's a very expensive, you know, our cost of living is pretty high. And when I talk about the amount of money that I was making, me and my husband, we were not like six figure earners each, right? There did come a point that I did begin making six figures. My husband's never made more than six figures. And so I think it's one of those things where it's just like, what we had to do was really focus on spending money intentionally, thinking about, okay, what is it that's truly important to us? We're going to spend money in those areas, right? I've already mentioned like really loving to travel. Like I want to travel, so I'm going to be spending money in those areas. But there were a lot of things that I didn't really care about. And so I started cutting back and then eliminating those sort of like wallet leaks, those things that sort of was stealing money. I wanted to travel, but did I have to travel first class? No. I've never paid for a first class seat in my life. Now I have traveled first class, but not because I've paid for it, right? Or getting upgraded to like a nice hotel room, right? I'm like, okay, I'm going to pay for like the basic room, but if I get upgraded, great, right? And what was more important to me, the mode of transportation that I took in order to take that vacation, or the actual experience of experiencing a new city, a new state, a new country, a new culture? That was way more important to me than spending money on pricey airline tickets and a pricey hotel. I was willing to stay at a three-star hotel if it got me to, at the end, achieve what I wanted, which was to have more travel experiences. And so making those decisions early on really helped us to be able to spend money sort of lavishly on the things that we cared about, and then be relentless and cut things out that were just kind of taking up money. There was a while that I was spending a lot of money on clothes and shoes. And if somebody asked me what I was valuing and then looked at my bank account, it would seem that I valued clothes and shoes. I could really care less about clothes and shoes, but I had so much clothes, so many shoes, so many handbags and belts and accessories. And it was like, for what? Why? That was where I was spending my money. And I could have been using that money to either travel more or to continuously build wealth. And so it's sort of asking ourselves the question, when I think about my life that I have right now, what is it things that truly the things that I truly value, what are the things that truly bring me joy? Keep those things. But if there's things that you're just spending money on in order to escape life, right? Or maybe out of pure convenience and not necessarily because it's something that you really want and something that you really love, then begin thinking, could I use that money in order to buy my freedom, in order to begin building a nest egg so that working becomes optional, so that financial independence is there for you, so that retirement is a healthy one and you don't have to rely on anyone else, right? Or rely on hoping that you'll be in good health until you're 65, 75, or 85 in order to continue working. And so it's really important to begin to sort of unpack the narrative of what society tells us retirement should look like, and also what our lives should be looking like. So many times we do things, we buy things in order to fit in order to fit the narrative of this is the American dream, or this is what we should be doing. And ask yourself, what is it that I want to be doing? What is it that I want to spend money on?
Well, that's so perfect. And I feel like you just spoke to so many people out there. And I love how, again, how achievable and simple, really simple and easy it sounds, and I believe that it is. And you know, it's something that will take time. You have to nurture it, and you have to be disciplined and determined and motivated. So that's perfect. The last question that I ask, what is your final message to the listeners? Anything that you want to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, I will say and reiterate that building wealth is simple, right? We want to build wealth. We want to buy things that are going to appreciate in value. We want to buy things that are assets, not liabilities, right? Not things that are going to bring us down later on, not things that are going to go down in value. So we want to, building wealth is really simple, but it isn't always easy if you don't have a strong reason why you're doing it, right? Sometimes we say, oh, I just want to be debt free. Being debt free is awesome. Great. But really understand, why is it that you want to do that? Building wealth, amazing, great. Being financially independent, amazing. But really always go back to, why is that important to you? What is it that being financially free, what is it that being debt free, what is it that building wealth will provide you? What is it that you really want to achieve at the end of it? What is it that you're seeking? So I think it's really important that, yes, building wealth is simple. Getting out of debt is simple, right? But knowing why you want to achieve those things is really, really important. And sometimes that digging deep as to the why is a little bit harder. I always say my clients come to me because they think we're going to deal with math and spreadsheets and all of the numbers. And of course, as a financial coach, we're looking at those numbers, right? We're going to be looking at what's coming in, what's going out, where can we make changes, what tweaks do we need to make? We're going to be working on that. But so much of it has to do with the behavioral side of finances and has to do with our relationship with money. Why is it that we feel a certain way when somebody asks us, how much money do you make? Or when we look at our bank of accounts, you know, is it a sense of joy and pride? Or is it a sense of, I hope nobody's looking over my shoulder, right? So we really want to uncover those things.
Wow, you really have me thinking now, because I feel like, you know, when you say about thinking about the why, I feel like the obvious answer is like, oh, of course, I want to be debt free. Of course, I want to have financial freedom. But you want to dig deeper and think of, why do you, you know, that's, I feel like that is the answer is, I just want to be debt free and that's it, period. But I guess, you know, there is a why behind that. So that's a really good take on financial wellness and freedom. Well, thank you so much for sharing everything that you did, all the gems and the advice and the little steps that we can take to become financially free. I do appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. You know, it's all about financial wellness, right? That financial wellness could lead to financial freedom.
Thank you so much for listening. Hope to catch you in the next episode. All original music produced by Stubborn Saul. You can find him on all music listening platforms at STBRNSAL.